Well, we're so happy to welcome to the show right now Tom Heckert, the general manager of the Browns. Tom, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you back, and it's great to see you looking so well. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Yeah, everything's going well.
Excellent. And I thought one of the things in that discussion you had yesterday with reporters was about the way you were still handling business, even though you weren't at the Combine, for instance, and you dealt with it via Skyping. Now, first of all, were you a big Skype guy before that?
I believe this one that we used Skype, but I think it was the FaceTime, the iPad or not, that thing. So I think it's FaceTime. But, yeah.
Okay.
I do it with my kids. And, I'm a little bit acclimated
some,
to it.
You had some
so
savvy.
It wasn't too bad, yeah.
And it worked out okay to the extent that, like, how? Give me a sense of how that communication went and who were you basically FaceTiming with in Indianapolis?
Yeah, well, the biggest thing were the interviews. You know, we had the 60 interviews at the Combine, and those were really the ones I was just listening to. But, you know, it was great to do that, and I did not sit in an hour, listen to all of them, but, you know, we tape every single one of them, and so I've watched them since we've been back, and we've actually watched them together. So it's everything that we do at the Combine and the All-Star games, it's all on tape. So it's really, you know, is it nice to be there? Yeah. But to be honest with you, you get a lot more out of it sitting and watching the tape of the whole thing.
Sure. Because you would always, even being there, you always go back and refer to the tape.
Oh, exactly. It's so much easier to concentrate on who you're actually watching once you get the tape and it's broken down by player. Where, you know, like you said, I think I said yesterday, if you're sitting at the Combine and the players are going one, two, right after another, and it's tough to tell. I mean, they're going so fast, you know who they are, but you can't, in your mind, you can't sit there and say, all right, there's 25 receivers. Wow, this guy looked great in every drill. So when you sit there and it's broken down by every drill, though, each receiver did or each running back did, it's easy to do on tape.
Were you satisfied with what the Browns were able to take from those interviews generally? I know you're still going through the process, but just listening to what, say, John Sandusky, John Spytek, your other people on the ground there also told you, do you feel good that you got what you were looking for from those sessions?
Yeah, because the big thing about the ones we do at the Combine are really more for the coaches. They want to put them on the board and basically see what their learning aptitude is. You know, can they learn? You know, we'll watch some of their plays. Our coach will say, all right, tell me about this play. What are you doing? What do you know the other people's assignments? That type of thing. So it's really an X and O type of thing where we have tape for the players to watch and they have a little screen. They can draw a play. They can draw what they're supposed to do. So it's more that type of thing there. And, you know, there's a little bit of character stuff we ask about, but it's kind of a weed out situation where we get 60 guys there, guys that obviously we like. We'll figure out who we want to bring in. We're allowed to bring 30 guys in for a whole day here. So, you know, out of that 60 group, if there's somebody we had concerns about, we'll bring them back in and spend a whole day with them.
As you've said many a time, and others who are part of the personnel process of the Browns and other teams said many a time, the Combine is just part of the puzzle, just a piece. It doesn't define really anything, but you went into it with certain ideas based on what you'd scouted through the entire regular season of college football and knew and had a board that you were putting together toward the end of November. Did the Combine results, the workouts and such, impact much movement on the Browns board?
No, not really. Now, there's a few guys that we want, like, they're usually down-the-line guys, you know, the later-round guys, maybe even free agent guys, where they might have shown something where we had a, let's say, I'm just throwing this out, a sixth-round pick on somebody, but he was big, he was fast, he was, you know, he caught the ball well or, you know, ran good route, you know, whatever, that we say, well, you know, maybe we need to take a better look at this guy. And there are a few guys where, I'll tell you what, a guy that kind of jumped out, and I'm not saying that this is, but a guy from Georgia Tech, you know, who their offense is basically a wishbone, so you don't get to see him do anything. So you really don't get a great feel for him at college. And, Stephen Hill, and he's big, he's fast, and he's another guy where, you know, you may want to do some extra work. You work out or have your coaches go see him just because you don't get to see a ton of them on tape running a traditional passing offense, which because they just don't do it. And right. So guys like that, you get to, at least you get a feel for guys that you need to just take a double look at.
And Hill's a wide out there
for
Tech. We're visiting with Tom Heckert, general manager of the Browns. The business of the Browns, again, did not stop during the course of the time that you were dealing with, you had the surgery and you were going through your recovery. The contract extension of DeQuell Jackson, a perfect example of that. So you were able to kind of keep things moving along as you were dealing with, you know, something obviously serious for you and something that you had to get through, but the business of the Browns rolled along. Nothing came, you didn't hit a pause button.
No, well, you know, I think I was actually in the hospital for 3 days, so it really wasn't that that long of a deal. We talked to Brian Mackler, DeQuell's agent, and those type of negotiations, even though you're talking about a lot of money and a lot of commitment by both the player and the team, it's easy when the player wants to be here and we want the player. I mean, those are the best combinations where, sure. you know you're going to get something done eventually. So it was really, it took probably a little longer than we expected, but, it was obviously never any animosity, and we knew it was going to get done one way or another, and so we're glad we got it done.
It makes the right kind of statement, I thought, because not only did you – reward a player who's contributed in a big way on the field, and that's first and foremost, but a good guy. And it just seems to me that it sent that message within the team that your signing of him to that extension is a little bigger than just signing one guy.
Right. Well, and I think it's true of, since we've been here, the guys that we have signed extensions to, Joe Thomas, the Rubens, the Chris Gokongs, obviously the Quell, those, all the guys that we've done are those type of guys. You know, they're guys that love playing for the Cleveland Browns. They're great guys. They're hard workers. And, if we can get, 53 of those guys, we're going to be really good. And that's our goal.
As we look toward the draft, and of course you fielded a whole lot of questions about that, and understandably the biggest would be that of Robert Griffin III and all the trade scenarios and possibilities, and you were kind of laughing at that yesterday to the extent that everybody from a speculation standpoint, nationally and locally, has all these trade scenarios. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch last weekend coming out with a handicapping of what's going to happen. It seems to me that a lot of those pieces that appear in newspapers, on the internet, and elsewhere in the media can follow an agenda that everybody is going to certainly put out a lot of information, and it certainly behooves the Rams to try to create some urgency for the Browns and other teams to want to trade.
Oh yeah, and that's just part of the business, and I think they're going to get a lot of action for that pick. They really are, and that's just kind of it's just the way this season worked out, where from there's two quarterbacks that everybody's talking about, and the assumption is that Luck's going to go first, and then if somebody wants the other quarterback, they're probably going to have to move up to the second round or to the second pick. So it's kind of the way things work. Rams are in a good position where they have an established quarterback, and they got the room to go ahead and just drop down and see if they can get a pick. So I do think they're going to get quite a bit for that pick.
How big of a deal was it that Griffin measured above 6'2" and then ran that 4.38 40, knowing he was already fast, but the height thing was a little bit of a question mark, so we got the official height on him, and then he runs what he runs. That added to what you know of him on his college tape throwing the football.
Right. I think it doesn't matter. Yeah, the speed really doesn't matter. The height probably does a little bit, but whether he was 6 foot or 6'2.5", it's what you see on tape. I mean, you don't see him get a bunch of balls batted down. Those type of, you think he can move inside the pocket, so he can buy himself some windows, and so that wasn't a big deal for his. It's great that he is 6'2.5", so that helps him. But you get to see it on tape where some 6 foot guys just get trouble seeing, and you never saw that with Robert.
And Andrew Luck, and you made the comment, and I laughed at it too, is it almost is like he's the forgotten guy? It's like there was so much focus on RG3. Luck, who's that other guy? And he may very well be the top overall pick of the draft. With that in mind, with the presumption that he's that guy, I'm going to take a wild guess here. You guys are presuming nothing, and that as an organization, and that you have to do your due diligence on Andrew Luck as much as anybody else at the quarterback position.
Oh yeah, and we talked about the combine, he's definitely a guy that we're gonna take a look at. I mean, just you never say never. I mean, we obviously don't think we're gonna have a chance to get him, but you can't until he's actually picked. It's tough to just say we're just gonna forget about him, because he is obviously a great player. So no, we'll do our due diligence on all these guys.
And his 40 time. Impressed
yeah.
you too.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, he's a phenom athlete for how big of a guy he is, and he's a great player. I think they're both going to be really, really good players.
they both handled themselves so well with the media. That was my big takeaway, along with so many others, just the way they were handling themselves with a whole bunch of people asking questions. Obviously, they drew the biggest crowds there, 750 or so reporters there. But how about in those interviews with the Browns, did you come away as impressed as the media was when they were talking to the press?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no question. They're both super intelligent kids, and they get it. I mean, they're just, they're football players. They love to work. I mean, just like all the coaches, rave about their work ethic, their intelligence on and off the field. So that came across, obviously at the combine. They're both super impressive kids. And it's kind of funny you talk about it, because I was watching an interview with Bill Polian about the Peyton Manning stuff, and he was talking about how Ryan Leaf blew off their interview at the combine. So
and Manning
worry about these two guys. They're pretty good.
And Manning interviewed the Colts.
Yeah, exactly.
And
he
had a legal pad and the 20 questions.
Yeah, that's right.
Tom, as far as we mentioned now, Peyton Manning, he's the name, the attraction, of course, for the free agency period, and it sounds like that's the number one domino that has to move. You said it yesterday. No interest on the Browns' part in him, and basically just explain why.
Exactly. It's is Peyton Manning a great quarterback? Yes. Obviously, the health thing has to be, but it's, from the sounds of it, it sounds like he's going to be able to play. And it's just a situation where I think we're probably in a little different situation where he's actually looking for. Would Peyton Manning come in here and help us out? There's no question. He's still a great quarterback, but we're a team that we're a young football team that's trying to get better for the long haul, and we're not in this thing for a quick fix and try to do something that's not going to be long term. And I think Peyton's looking at the same way. Peyton's probably looking for a quick fix. He wants to win a Super Bowl again. And I don't know if that's right now. Are we planning on trying to win a Super Bowl next year? Yes, but I think Peyton's probably looking at a little different situation.
And with free agency approaching, it starts Tuesday. What is the – talk about the game plan, if you will, of the Browns, to the extent of how you're preparing for that. And obviously the other name that's going to come up prominently is Matt Flynn's name at the quarterback position. And how could we see that as a possibility? If Manning's not a possibility, is A, Flynn a possibility, and B, what is the general approach to free agency as it fast approaches?
Right. Well, first, I can't talk about specific players. I think what we're doing is obviously we've studied this everybody that's available, and we're going to be very selective. We're going to try to do some things. We really are. But again, I've said it's not an avenue that we're going to try to go out and sign 5-6 players. We don't believe in it, and I just don't think that's the way to do it. And but are there players that we're interested? Certainly. And hopefully we can get those guys. Now, if we can't, then we'll have to kind of readjust and see what we're going to do in the draft. But there are some guys that we're targeting, and hopefully we can get it done.
Is it fair to say the approach will be identical to what we saw last year, where you were targeting specific guys who were, these weren't star-type players, but you had a defined role for everybody?
Well, I think it's probably a little combination. Are there some guys that, star, I don't know, I think,
That's more recognizable starter
name.
I think
there's going to be some guys in that category that we're going to at least talk to and see if we can get something done. But, we're probably focused on guys that, obviously the little bit younger situation. We're not planning on going out and signing a bunch of older guys. That kind of defeats our whole strategy of building the team. So, there's plenty of guys that we're going to talk to, and hopefully we can get a couple done.
And how do you walk the parallel world between outside guys that you're looking at and your own free agents? As you mentioned yesterday, you'd love to keep them all if you could. That's probably not realistic. But your own guys who are also entering free agency, along with the ones that you're going to look at outside, how do you balance that?
Well, it's tough. It really is, because you have a better feel of your own guys, I think we're going to try to sign as many of our guys back as we can, and then add from the outside. It's just we have room to do both, and we'll just have to kind of wait and see what happens.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, and I know you got a busy stretch ahead of you, but we look forward to visiting with you again.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. He is Tom Heckert, the general manager for the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12. In stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.